Good morning. This is 5 at 8. Today's Monday, March 25th, 2024. And here's Linda Carlisle and Mark Overman with today's top news. In this episode, we'll talk about Ukraine launching a massive attack on Russian naval vessels, ISIS-K gaining strength in Afghanistan, the bidet industry's growth during the pandemic, the Federal Reserve's economic outlook, and new COVID-19 restrictions announced by the government. Story number one. In a report from CNN, Ukraine launched a massive overnight attack on Russian naval vessels and facilities in Sevastopol, Crimea. The attack targeted two Russian ships and a communications center, causing large explosions and damage. Ukrainian forces have had success targeting Russia's Black Sea Fleet, disabling or destroying over 20 vessels. The attacks have military and economic implications, securing a shipping corridor for Ukraine. Russia has not commented on the attacks. Has anyone ever seen anything like this, Linda? The Ukrainian forces, despite having a much smaller navy, have managed to cripple a third of the Russian Black Sea Fleet. It's not just about the sheer firepower, but the audacity and innovation driving these successes.
It's reminiscent of David and Goliath, isn't it? But at sea. The use of missile strikes and sea drone attacks, it's a clear demonstration of asymmetric warfare. While Russia might have the upper hand in terms of conventional ground forces, Ukraine is certainly holding its own in the naval conflict.
You're correct. It's like the Battle of Salamis all over again, where a much smaller Greek fleet managed to defeat the Persians due to superior tactics and understanding of the terrain. In this case, Ukraine seems to have the upper hand in the Black Sea, despite the odds. And don't get me started on the economic implications.
By targeting the Russian fleet, Ukraine is not just defending itself militarily, but also economically. Securing shipping corridors from Odessa and other ports towards the Bosphorus Strait is crucial for Ukraine to maintain its trade connections. There's a lot at stake here.
And, you know, it's fascinating how technology and social media have transformed the way we understand these conflicts. I mean, we're getting real-time updates and videos from Telegram channels, which, of course, have to be taken with a grain of salt, but it's still remarkable.
The role of platforms like Telegram in modern war reporting cannot be underestimated, but it's a double-edged sword, as it can also lead to misinformation. Verification remains a significant challenge, but all in all, this conflict is a testament to how technology, strategy, and audacity can upset traditional power balances.
Story number two. ISIS-K, the Afghanistan arm of ISIL, has been gaining strength since the return of the Taliban to power in Afghanistan. The group claimed responsibility for a deadly attack on a concert hall in Russia, marking its growing ambitions beyond its traditional strongholds. Analysts attribute ISIS-K's growth to the Taliban's takeover of Afghanistan, which provided the group with more opportunities to expand and operate. The main ISIL group in Syria and Iraq has also seen an increase in operational capabilities, posing a challenge for counterterrorism efforts in the face of global geopolitical shifts. According to Al Jazeera, the situation presents a significant threat to international security. Should we consider this resurgence of ISKP as a grim reminder that the fight against such extremist entities is far from over, Linda? It's a stark contrast from the defeat we were celebrating just a few years ago. The irony here is that their growth seems to have been inadvertently aided by the withdrawal of U.S. forces and Taliban's takeover in Afghanistan, despite them being arch enemies.
The geopolitical landscape has undoubtedly played a role in ISKP's resurgence. While the Taliban's takeover has been viewed as a victory by some, it's clear that it's also created a power vacuum and an environment conducive to the growth of other extremist factions like ISKP. And their recent attacks in Russia and Iran are a clear indication of their expanded ambitions. It's sobering, really.
Right. It's a testament to their operational resilience. I mean, after losing about 95% of their territory in Syria and Iraq, it's astonishing how they've managed to regroup and pose a significant threat again. And this time, their reach is global.
Indeed, their resilience is, unfortunately, a testament to their ideological strength, too. Eradicating such extremist ideologies is an incredibly complex task, even more so when they become intertwined with local grievances and political turmoil, as we've seen in Afghanistan. It's a deeply concerning situation.
Couldn't agree more, Linda. I guess it's a wake-up call, isn't it? Complacency in counterterrorism can have devastating consequences. The focus should remain on dismantling these groups and their ideologies, no matter how much territory they lose or regain. And we need to seriously consider how political decisions like troop withdrawals can inadvertently create conditions for extremist factions to grow.
It's a complex, multifaceted issue that needs sustained attention and action from the global community. We can't afford to take our eyes off the ball.
Story number three. The bidet industry experienced significant growth during the COVID-19 pandemic as Americans sought alternatives to toilet paper shortages. Sales of bidets and related products have continued to increase, with some companies reporting revenue growth of up to 400%. Bidets, once a foreign concept in the U.S., are becoming more popular as consumers discover the benefits of water-based sanitation. The market offers a wide range of options, from basic attachments to high-end electronic models. The cultural stigma surrounding bidets in the U.S. is slowly changing, with more people embracing the practice of using water for cleanliness. The bidet industry may need to become a social norm in the U.S. to continue its growth, according to CNN. Why, I have to say, the rise in popularity of bidets in the U.S. is a fascinating part of the pandemic story. It does show how even deeply ingrained habits can change when circumstances demand it.
Yes, but it's interesting to note that this change in consumer behavior was primarily driven by necessity during the toilet paper shortage, not necessarily by a sudden awareness or appreciation of the benefits of bidets.
Agreed, Linda. But the fact remains that even after the toilet paper shortage was resolved, bidets have managed to maintain their sales growth. Doesn't that suggest a lasting shift in attitudes?
Perhaps, Mark. But it's also important to remember that consumer behavior is complex. People might be buying bidets now because they fear another toilet paper shortage in the future. Or they might simply be following a trend, not necessarily adopting a new norm.
Well, I think the continued growth in bidet sales is a sign that people are recognizing their benefits, like better hygiene and less environmental impact. It's a small step, but it shows that we can adapt and adopt more sustainable habits.
That's a hopeful perspective, Mark, but I'm a bit more skeptical. I guess time will tell whether this bidet boom is a passing phase or a true cultural shift.
Story number four. In a report from CNN, the Federal Reserve doesn't foresee a recession in the near future, with strong economic growth expected through 2026. Reddit's stock debuted on the NYSE with a significant increase in value. Key events in the upcoming week include economic data releases and earnings reports from companies like Walgreens Boots Alliance and GameStop. Fed Chair Jerome Powell will also deliver remarks. Could this be a renaissance era for the American economy, Linda? The Federal Reserve's projections certainly paint a rosy picture for the upcoming years, with economic growth and strong labor markets. Remember when we were talking about the Great Recession? Now it seems like we're on the other end of the spectrum.
It does seem optimistic, Mark, especially with the productivity boom that might boost growth without kindling inflation. But don't let's forget the word projections. They are simply educated predictions based on current data and trends. As the saying goes, past performance is not an indicator of future results.
Nothing is set in stone. But it's encouraging, isn't it? The job market is robust, the GDP growth is strong, and even the stock market is breaking records. It's like the American dream is getting a new lease on life.
It's certainly heartening to see, especially after the hardships many faced during the pandemic. However, we also need to consider the potential risks. The article mentioned the possibility of inflation's descent stalling. If that happens, and the Fed has to keep rates restrictive for too long, we could see a slowdown in economic growth.
Yeah, there's always a but, isn't there? Inflation is definitely the wild card in all this. And then there's the matter of interest rates, which are at their highest in two decades. But economists seem to think that it won't present any problems for the sturdy U.S. economy.
That's right. The phrase stronger for longer seems fitting. But we also need to remember that while some sectors may be robust, others may still be struggling. The economic recovery is not evenly distributed, and that's a key point to bear in mind.
Good point, Linda. The devil's always in the details. Speaking of which, we also have Reddit making its debut on the New York Stock Exchange. Looks like the robust economic outlook is influencing corporate decisions too.
Reddit's IPO could be seen as a vote of confidence in the projected economic growth. But again, it's important to balance this optimism with caution. As we've discussed before, the stock market can be unpredictable, and a company's performance on the market doesn't always reflect its underlying value.
Story number five. In a report from the BBC, it has been stated that the government has announced new restrictions in response to the rising number of COVID-19 cases. Might be me jumping the gun here, Linda, but doesn't this hunt for ghost particles sound like something straight out of a sci-fi novel? The idea that these phantom doppelgangers of the Standard Model's particles could be the key to understanding the missing 95% of the universe is absolutely mind-boggling.
It does sound a bit like science fiction, doesn't it, Mark? But, in reality, it's the frontier of particle physics we're talking about. These ghost particles, if they exist, could reshape our perception of the universe. As they're theorized to pass straight through everything, they're extremely difficult to detect. But the scientists at CERN have come up with an innovative approach. Instead of colliding particles together, they're planning to crash them into a big block of material. It could make the detection process 1,000 times more sensitive.
That's a real game changer. To think they're going to detect something that can't be detected by any earthly device. It's like trying to catch a ghost, literally. But what happens if they manage to prove the existence of these ghost particles? What's the broader implication here, Linda?
Well, Mark, the discovery of ghost particles would revolutionize the field of particle physics and beyond. It could solve the mystery of the missing 95% of the universe, often referred to as dark matter. We may be able to understand why galaxies move the way they do. It's like finding a new piece of the puzzle that could help us see the bigger picture. This could lead to advancements in quantum mechanics, astrophysics, and potentially even the development of new technologies.
Wow, that's just astounding. It's like we're on the brink of a new era in understanding our universe. It makes me think of the time when the Higgs boson was discovered. Something I'm wondering about. This experiment sounds massively expensive. How does it compare to other big projects at CERN?
Good point, Mark. The cost factor in these large-scale experiments is always significant. The Large Hadron Collider, for example, cost around £3.75 billion. But this new experiment, called the Search for Hidden Particles or SHIP, is expected to be around 100 times cheaper, at around £100 million. It's scheduled to start looking for new particles in 2030, much earlier than the Future Circular Collider, which won't be at its full new particle hunting potential until 2070. So in terms of cost and time, it seems like a more pragmatic approach.
That's it for this morning. Have a great day and see you all tomorrow.
5 at 8 is researched, written, and performed by artificial intelligence. For more information, visit botcaster.ai.